It's Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee is turning heads this week with plans to announce he's joining the Democratic Party. Until now, Chafee was the only independent governor in the country, but he's expected to change that this morning during an appearance in Warwick. Here to explain why he's doing it is Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst Scott McKay. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
So with this change of party, Governor Chafee faces a Democratic primary where rivals are likely to include some very popular Democrats, Providence Mayor Angel Taveras and State Treasurer Gina Raimondo. What's the math, Scott, on the primary calculus?
Well, it's 16 months away, so let's preface everything we say with being a little bit cautious. But it reminds me a lot of the 1990 Democratic primary for governor, which is the record in Rhode Island turnout, 162,000 voters. And that was among Warwick Mayor Frank Flaherty, Bruce Sundland, who ended up winning, and Providence Mayor Joe Paolino. I think you're looking at a really fascinating race. You've got three well-known candidates. And at this point, General Treasurer Raimondo has the fundraising lead. She's got almost $2 million in the bank. I think Angel Taveras, given the makeup of a Democratic primary, a Providence mayor, probably has the edge in the ground game, putting people together, particularly the emerging Latino vote. And then, of course, there's Governor Chafee, who's an incumbent governor who doesn't have the same pressure to raise money as particularly the mayor will, because he and his wife, First Lady Stephanie Danforth Chafee, have pretty significant financial resources, and they have shown that they will spend their own money. So we're setting up a very interesting three-way Donnybrook here.
And what does a contested Democratic primary mean for any GOP candidate in the governor's race?
Well, the history in Rhode Island is when the Democrats have knocked down, drag-out primaries, it helps the Republican. And there's two reasons for this. One is structural. We have September primaries, which means you only have 6 or 7 weeks after a bruising primary to raise the money for the general and try to kiss and make up and, you know, bring some party unity there. That makes these things very difficult. And the history in Rhode Island going back to 1980s and even before is that when the Democrats have these nasty, bitter primaries and they go after each other and there's a lot of bruised feelings, it ends up being a Republican governor. Now, that probably helps Cranston Mayor Alan Fung. I do think that GOP leaders really would like to clear the field for Fung, and that way he can save his money and build an organization for the general election and not face his own primary. That would definitely help the Cranston mayor.
Now, Scott McKay, what are we likely to actually hear at the announcement this morning? What's the spin here?
Well, Governor Chafee, look, he marches to his own drummer. We've always known that. He's going to say this is about his conviction. It's about philosophy. He's more in tune with the modern Democratic Party. He wants to work with a team. As you know, he and President Obama get along very well. The president yesterday put out a statement basically welcoming Link Chafee into the Democratic Party, as did Vermont Governor Peter Shumlin, who is head of the Democratic Governors Association. He and Chafee have a good relationship. They've worked together on a number of things, including gay marriage. Governor Shumlin's daughter just transferred to Brown University here in Providence, and I think that Governor Chafee was actually instrumental in getting her an interview when this happened a while back. So they have a very good personal relationship. They're two New England governors. They're both a little quirky in their own way. So that's going to be that calculus. Chafee's going to say he's doing this out of conviction. Now, here's the pure political calculus. His people have to think he's got a better shot in a three-way Democratic primary than he does running again as an independent. He only got 36% of the vote last time as an independent, and he was lucky because the general election here in Rhode Island in 2010 resembled nothing so much as a big primary. There were seven candidates, four serious candidates, and Chafee won with what would be the traditional loser's share, 36%, if it were a two-way Republican-Democratic race. So that's the dice that he's rolling.
And what about the money question? I mean, isn't this partly about fundraising, too?
A little bit. I don't think that's a big part of his decision. Again, he and his wife have very substantial personal resources, and I think he spent more than $1 million of his own money last time. He had to pour a lot of money into his 2006 race for U.S. Senate that he had eventually lost to Democrat Sheldon Whitehouse. So I don't see that. Some other people I know in the Rhode Island political pundit class, the chattering classes here in our little state, have pointed to the fundraising, but Chafee's passive, that's not a huge thing.
So if it's not about money, Scott, in your opinion, who does this pressure more, Angel Taveras or Gina Raimondo?
I think it puts the pressure on the mayor, because the mayor and the governor get along very well. They have overlapping bases. If you look at the last election in 2010, one of the reasons Link Chafee won is because he got over 50% in Providence. He did better in Providence than any other city in town in Rhode Island. And we know that his base was really very similar to Mayor Taveras's. It was affluent professionals on the east side of the city and the working class folks, Latinos, African-American folks on the south side of the city. And that was the coalition that both Chafee and Taveras rode to victory in Providence last time. And these bases overlap, and you're making people have a very tough decision.
Now, Scott, you mentioned that Governor Lincoln Chafee is likely to make this about values and commitment today when he makes this announcement. But is there a risk here for Chafee? Does he come across seeming indecisive? I mean, he's been a Republican, then he was independent, now he's turning Democrat.
Yes, I'm sure, as Mayor Taveras put out a usual statement. The first thing he said, hey, I've been a Democrat all my life and I've been a Red Sox fan. And, you know, I'm not one of these people who changes his spots, puts his finger in the air and decides what's going to help me win. I mean, since 2006 now, Chafee's been, as you pointed out, a Republican and independent and now a Democrat. And some people are going to say, you know, the guy's 60 years old. Doesn't he know which party he's affiliated with by now?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if it also makes him look like a problematic candidate, like he didn't feel he could win as an independent, so he's making a political calculus to change.
Yes, that's what his opponents are definitely going to point out. They're going to say that this is a desperate move, basically, because his poll numbers are low. He's one of the three or four governors in the country who looks the most vulnerable, if you believe the polling, the public opinion surveys. So I think there is going to be a lot of comment on that.
Now, Scott, if you're the head of the state's Democratic Party, what do you do here?
Take a long vacation. Really, I think this is going to be tough for some of the party poobahs. And the reason is the party endorsement, if the governor decides to go after it, is going to really rely on the Speaker of the House, Gordon Fox. Now, they get along well, but Fox is also very close to Mayor Taveras. So I'm not sure just what the party apparatus is going to do. I think a lot of these folks, look at Jack Reed, I'm sure he's running for re-election next year. I assume he just stays neutral. So I think a lot of party leaders, like I say, may just decide to take a pass on this and let these three folks fight it out.
Well, Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst, Scott McKay, thank you so much for being here.
Great to be here, Elizabeth.